Yeah, thank you so much. That's a welcome. Welcome to you as well. We're going to come back to this welcome idea. Hey, it's a great day to be here. And I had the special opportunity to sit by Elijah today. And that was great. And to worship with Hallie and with Elizabeth and their mom, their grandmother. But it was great. And there's something about, you know, kids, you know, just kind of light up the place. And sometimes literally. But man, it's great to be here today. And for you who are online, we're glad you're here too. Sometimes, you know, I just see people that I haven't seen in a while, and I'm seeing some of those today. Nice beard. It's been growing a while, but, you know, I think it's on point right there. I think that's the proper use of that phrase. But we're good today, and I'm glad to see Sarah here sporting her Beekman T-shirt. I got to do it, yeah. Today we're going to continue our series in supporting roles, lessons learned from the lesser known. And today's one of my favorites. So the title of the sermon is Use the Tools You Have, and it's the story of Shamgar. And I'm sure Shamgar's one of your favorites also. He's one of the people in the Bible who have just one, is mentioned in just one verse. And it's in Judges 3 that he's mentioned. But he did something, and so did all the judges, did something kind of unusual. So I'm going to start here, read this, and then we're going to jump into how this is really relevant for us today. We've actually even spoken some of the words of the sermon today. Ray did, Danny did, Mike did, Jeanette did. Some of these words have been spoken. I think it's really relevant for us today. But here's the verse. Ready? After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Amen? Okay, let's go to lunch. We are good and fed, right? Well, here's the point, and we're going to make this over and over. And I'm going to say some things about the context, but for me, when I think of this story, I quickly also think of this last spring. Mom was in trouble. And on a late March Wednesday night, we went to the hospital. And in the hospital, she started doing okay, and then she started not. And then it was obvious to Dad and to the doctors that Mom was dying. And we went through several minutes. Dad and I both were on each side of the bed, and we believe that this is it. But the doctors had tools and supplies and skills, and they saved her. God has given you gifts and skills and tools, and He wants you to use them. Let's pray. God, today I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds, and that we could see a message from you, that we could actually see it, that we could hear it, that we could feel it, and that your Holy Spirit would move in this place and in each one of our hearts as you personalize this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. The deal with the book of Judges, it's like this. There's a cycle, in a rhythm in the book of Judges, and the rhythm goes like this. First, God, He has rescued his people and he begins to bless them. And he did that in the book of Joshua. And this came right out of Moses and the being set free from the Egyptians. And now they're in the promised land and their land is all divided up. And so God is blessing them. But the people, this is point number two, they sin and they rebel against God. And then they go into captivity or in slavery. Another nation takes charge of them. And then they repent. And then God rescues and blesses them. And then they sin and rebel. And they go into captivity and slavery. And then they repent. And then God rescues them and blesses them. And then they sin. And you get it, how it goes like this? And he uses these people called judges. We think of a judge as a person in court making decisions about the law. These judges were usually leaders and warriors. Now, they also would make legal decisions too, but mostly they were warriors. And so we're going along, and number one is Othniel. I can't say his dude's name. And Ehud, I can't say his name either. I can just barely say Bob, and it's the easiest name ever made. And then it says this, our verse, Shamgar comes. And it says he had an ox goad. And an ox goad is a stick with a piece of metal in it that you pull, an ox pulls, and you're plowing kind of with it. And he used that. It's about 8 or 9 feet long. He used it and killed 600 Philistines, who that's the people who had gotten. And then it says he saved Israel. So we're going to talk about the word saved. Listen, have you been saved? Yeah, like multiple times. Right? I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and my eternity is secure, not like Art says, not because I'm worthy, but because of the blood of Jesus, I'm saved. But I'm saved from a lot of other things too. Sometimes, you know, I've been saved by other people who've given me advice right about the moment I was going to do something stupid. And maybe you've been this way too, but I'm pretty regular, get on the stupid train. So I've been saved from stuff, and these guys were being saved by these, and it says every time, they saved Israel, they saved Israel. So Shamgar used his ox goad. Well, this is not something that's unusual, because this is the way God has done it all the time. God has equipped us to do everything he wants us to do. And our role is to use and develop those tools. David used the stones, right? And he killed Goliath. And Gideon used the trumpets and the lamps. And then Joshua used the trumpets. And Moses had a stick. God's always preparing people to do his work with kind of unusual kind of ways. But what he does is he's given us also the tools to do what he wants us to do. God doesn't just call the equipped, he equips the called, you know. It's not just God calling the qualified, he qualifies the ones he calls. He has a job for us to do, and he's given you what you need to do it. And, you know, a lot of times I want to say, well, man, I wish I had this thing. I wish I could sing like Mike Tackett or even play the keyboard. That'd be great. I could just do that. Or, you know, I wish I could play the drums like Lucas back there and look cool like Lucas in his hat with his cool hair. I once had cool hair. I mean, I'm almost thinking I wish that. But God's given Bob what he needs to do the job he's asked me to do. And so what are these tools God's given you? I'm gonna give you some of them, but you're going to think of others as well. So one of the things that's our main thing that's going on with us is God's put the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is working at transforming us. You're becoming more like Jesus. I can see it right on you. You know, I can see it on you, Kevin. And I'm so happy that I could say it to you in face to face today that I see Jesus in Kevin. Man, I'm so happy that Jacob is my friend. I see Jesus in him. Right? And we're becoming more like, we're being transformed into his image by the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is we display the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit is changing us, and this fruit of the Spirit is on display wherever we show up. When we walk in the room, the Holy Spirit walks in with us, and our transformed lives make a difference in the atmosphere. That happened when each one of you walked in. Now, it's different. We all have different gifts, and the fruits of the Spirit are displayed in different ways in each one of us. But we have this fruit of the Spirit. Just to remind you, and I can't sing the song. I don't know the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Spirit song, but there is one, isn't it? Don't sing it right now. Okay, love. You know, some people walk in the room and you just feel the love. Joy. They just walk in the room and you feel the joy. Now, some people walk in the room and you feel the grumpy. But some people, they walk in and the Holy Spirit's changing them. Holy Spirit's even changing the grumpy. But the Holy Spirit's changing us to make us more joyful. And let me tell you, one of the ways God can save a person or save a group of people or save a family is with joy. Because some people are just dying with blah. There's not even a word for that. That's why I had to do it that way. Patience and peace and kindness. People are kind because the Holy Spirit is changing them. And they see this fruit of this Spirit. It's kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And when these things show up, people are saved. Groups are saved. Families are saved. Situations are saved. And so this is our using our ox goad. Y'all get me? We've got tools, and we're sent out to use the tools. Now, I've not got an ox goad, but more and more as the Holy Spirit changes me, I can be gentle. Okay? All right. Now, not only that, we got more tools. We got more arrows in the quiver than just the fruits of the Spirit, even though that would just be enough. But we also are fighting this fight, and we're using weapons that aren't of this world. They're different. But first of all, let's think about the enemy. Who is the enemy? Okay? It's not the Philistines. Our enemy is way more dangerous than the Philistines. So here's the way it says in Ephesians 1. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's our enemy. And we use different kinds of weapons. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. I want to make a suggestion about what some of those strongholds are. Addiction is a stronghold. We fight with weapons that can fight against, that can save people from addiction. Unhealthy relationships is a stronghold. Poverty is a stronghold. Loneliness and depression is a stronghold. Sickness, hatred, anger, these are strongholds that the weapons that God has given us fight against. We don't have an ox goad. Well, I don't have an ox goad. I mean, Art may have an ox goad, but I don't have an ox goad. But I do have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I have the fruits of that transformation going on in my life all the time. And so back to Ephesians 6, we have this armor of God also as a weapon, as a tool that is in that we're supposed to use. And it's truth and righteousness, the gospel of peace, it's faith, it's salvation, and it's the word of God. It's the word of God as a tool that we have. Now, again, one of the things you got to do when you get your tools is you got to use them and become experts at using them. I'm sure Shamgar knew how to use that ox goad. There you go. So, a couple of tips here we're going to go. First of all, be where you are. And this sounds kind of funny, like where else could you be? But have you ever been sitting in a place but really been somewhere else? Yeah. Be where you are. Also, have you ever been somewhere and really was dreaming about being somewhere else? Kind of hating where you are and hoping that Bob's sermon is over and you can go to lunch soon. You know, I mean, you know, really it's like, I wish I was somewhere else. Yeah, you can't, you're not, be where you are. Mike sent me this text about Emily's place where she goes to practice and be trained in archery. And you know, she's an archer. Y'all know that. Not an arrow shooter, as I once called her. She's an archer. Well, the saying was, be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. Plant. Plant. The target may be way out there. The goal may be way out, but right here, right now, be in the moment is another way to say this. Be in the moment. Paul and Silas were in the jail. Jail wasn't fun. They're in Philippi. He was in jail a lot, but in Philippi they were in jail, and he started singing. They started singing. They started worshiping. They used the tool of worship in the place they'd rather not be. The jailer was saved, and the church in Philippi was begun. You may be stuck in some pretty not happy places. Worship. Man, worship is a tool. It's a weapon. Worship. They changed the world from that jail cell. Here's the problem, man. We can't just be fantasizing. If only if I was this, if our church was bigger, if we didn't meet in a warehouse. You know, I love our warehouse. I love our church size, actually, because I can know everybody in the room. And if I don't know you, then, you know, I can get to know you quickly because you're the only one I don't know. Here's the deal. We're the light of the world. Because we're the light of the world, we're going to be intentionally sent into darkness. Darkness sucks. But we're sent there to be the light. So wherever you are, be the light. It's who you are. The next thing is, go where God sends you. So where is God sending you? And this is, again, Danny has already brought this up in a great way. We're going to the workplace. Do you guys work around people? Every morning when you get up from your bed and you get out and go wherever you're going, go where God sends you. He's sending you. He's sending you into the world. He's sending you into the workplace, into your neighborhood. Where has God sent me? Well, right now I have this Holy Spirit burden on me that I should go meet my new neighbor. And I see him, and so far we've done this across the street. And seriously, God is like, go talk to that guy. Go talk to that man. You need to talk to him. And I'm thinking, God, today's not the day. I don't know why I think, today's not. Today's the day. Where's God sending you? Maybe it's across the street. Do you know your neighbor? Because you know what your neighbor needs? joy, and peace, and gentleness, and kindness. And you've got all those weapons. You've got all those gifts. He needs the truth. And maybe you need something from your neighbor. So you go meet your neighbor. Maybe that's where God's sending you, or maybe it's your family. God's sending you into your family. Some of us have escaped our family, we think, and, you know, sometimes that's true. Like, some people have families that they need to kind of be absent for a minute, but maybe sending you back into your family with an ox goad, which is not to kill them like the Philistines, but maybe he's sending you with forgiveness or truth, gentleness. So, coming to the end here, here's a couple questions. Who saved you and who have you saved? Well, okay, Jesus saved you. He died for you on the cross. God raised him. We have assurance that we have a spot. He's prepared a room for you. You got that. But in other ways, who saved you? For one thing, who taught you about Jesus? That's one of the persons. But have you ever been saved from a bad relationship? Have you ever been saved from a bad situation? Maybe you're headed down the wrong road and someone came and helped you back on the right road. Someone saved you? The way I say it, has someone saved you from what could have been a life-crushing situation or experience or relationship? And who have you saved? Who saved you? Who have you saved? How many of you were part of CCC in fall of 2016 and the winter of 2017? Or if you weren't here, you were about, yeah. Well, you saved me. You saved me. This is how this happened. I'd worked at ACU for 40 years. Yeah, long time. But in summer of 2016, we split ways and it was ugly. And I was very much doubting my worth, my value. A couple years before that, I had gotten a divorce. And the shame and the guilt of that was hard to shake. Even though I knew certain things were true in my head was good, but my heart was broken. Yeah, you know that? And in both situations, I felt very much an outcast. Like people I'd known for decades, I just didn't want to be in the room with them. And it wasn't even their fault. Some of them, it just wasn't their fault. Because I had another enemy that wasn't flesh and blood. You know what I mean? My enemy wasn't flesh and blood. But my enemy was killing me. And then I came here. And you know what you did? You said, "Welcome, Bob." Yeah. You did. You accepted me. You encouraged me. And most of all, you trusted me. In a moment in my life where I found it very hard to trust myself. And then Mary Beth saved me. Look at you grinning over there, Leanne. Because I was 100% sure that, especially as a husband, I was an untrustworthy person. And I had the proof to go along with it. So I did not want to get married because I knew that I was not trustworthy. Which, again, is a lie from our true enemy, right? So Mary Beth, along with the others, but especially her, with the tool of forgiveness. That's one of the tools we have. Talk about an ox goad. Man, forgiveness, what a great thing to use. And so when I said, I'm not trustworthy, she said, I'll trust you. Saved me. You saved me. And then, you know, Art and Betty. Yeah, y'all, everybody, y'all. It wasn't just the banana pudding. That helped a lot. Did help a lot. But man, it's like, their house is my house. Anytime, day or night, 7 days a week, they saved me. They saved me. And you know, even as I'm talking about this right now, you know other people in your life who need saving, like my neighbor, and I don't even know that he may be a Christian going to heaven and going to take me with him, I hope, but I don't even know him. What I need to do is follow the Holy Spirit and say, hi, I'm Bob. Right now we got this going. Hey, hey neighbor. But we have been called to be the light of the world. That's our true identity. And so this is where we go. This is where we go. Now here's the thing, I think that, again, I want to mention this last week. I'll mention it more as we go forward. But this prayer, I think, fits into what our situation is this prayer. Dear Father, increase my passion for things that matter most to you. You know, in sports and athletics and football, that I was around a lot, here's a phrase that I never did like this. You know who's going to win this game? It's whoever wants it the most. I'm like, that's stupid. Because, you know, everybody wants it the most. But in a way, you know, so you'd use this to motivate. Yeah, you don't want it bad enough. Well, what is it that you want bad enough to get out of your chair and go do something and say something? Or maybe it's what you need to do is sit in your chair and just start praying to God more. Okay? But what is it you want? What I'm praying this prayer is because I want God to increase my passion for my neighbor across the street, for the family member who needs forgiveness most. I want God to increase my passion for what matters most to Him. And then realize I've got all the tools I need to go do that. I can do what God has asked me to do. I just need the passion to do it because He's already equipped me. So we're going to sing, y'all get your stuff ready to go. We're going to sing this song, Confidence, and boom, what do you know? Jeanette just pulls these songs out of the air that fit. I give her like, a sentence and a half about what I'm going to talk about, and the Holy Spirit works, right? Amen. But let's stand and let's sing together, and then I'll have one other thing to say.